podcast family. Welcome to Mind of Christ International Church, affectionately known as MOCI Inspirational Podcast. We are located in Alabaster, Alabama. I am Senior Pastor Derek Morissette, serving alongside my fabulous wife, Executive Pastor Trish Morissette. At Mind of Christ, we believe in changing minds, changing lives, and changing destinies. We pray this podcast motivates, inspires, and takes your life to a whole new level in the things of God.
Talking about the Beatitudes, and we know that these are the attitudes that we should be. So I'm going to talk from Matthew chapter number 5, which is where we were on last week. We were in Matthew chapter number 5. We talked through verses 3 to 12, and I'm going to talk to you today from verses number 13 through 16. Verse number 13, it says, "You are the salt of the earth. But what good is salt if it has lost it? Can you make it salty again? It will be thrown out and trampled underfoot as worthless." Verse number 14, "You are the light of the world. A city on a hilltop that cannot be hidden. No one lights a lamp and then puts it under a basket. Instead, a lamp is placed on a stand where it gives light to everyone in the house." Last verse. "Let your good deeds shine out for all to see, so that everyone will praise your heavenly Father." I'll say that again. "In the same way, let your good deeds shine out for all to see, so that everyone will give you praise." Oh, my bad. It says give the Father praise. Amen. So we don't do good works.
Amen.
So that our name can be great. Jesus can be magnified.
Amen.
So I want to talk to you today from the subject of I'm salty. I'm salty. Hashtag I'm different. Hashtag I'm built different.
Yes, that's it.
Let's have a little fun right quick before we start this out. Y'all preach with me real quick. Say look at your neighbor. Look at your neighbor and tell your neighbor, I'm salty.
I'm salty.
I'm salty.
Yeah. Y'all do that for me one more time. That felt good. Because I seen the look on their face when you said it. Say it one more time. Look at them. Look at them. Flat. Dab in the eye saying, I'm salty.
I'm salty.
You say, are you salty?
Are you salty?
Y'all like, I don't know where he is going with this. I don't know where he is going with this. I'm salty. It's amazing how the world takes things from the original intent and perverts it. Everything that good has an adversary.
Come on, man.
There's only one thing that has no equal, and sometimes we compare the devil to God, but God has no equal.
Amen.
So salty. I'm going to talk to you about this real quick. Salty. And this is a is someone who is behaving or expressing themselves in a resentful, bitter, or irritated manner. Just got an attitude. Mm-hmm. And it's a bad attitude. Mm-hmm. You got it?
Mm-hmm.
Some of y'all professionals at it, don't raise your hand.
Right.
Someone that is behaving or expressing themselves in a resentful, bitter, or irritated manner. Through attitude, and most of the time it's a bad attitude. I'm sorry. How did we get here? So real quickly, so I'm going to catch you back up. So in last week, again, we talked from Matthew chapter number 5. In Matthew chapter number 1, we know that's the genealogy of Jesus. In Matthew chapter number 2, we know that that is when it talks about when Jesus was born. And it talks about how the wise men brought him gifts. In Matthew chapter number 3, it talks about the baptism of Jesus and how John the Baptist comes on the scene. He baptizes Jesus. Matthew chapter number 4, it's all about Jesus recruiting his disciples. In Matthew chapter number 4, verse number 19, it says that he sees the disciples, your nets, and he says, come and follow me. What we have to know that that was symbolic of when he told them to drop the nets, that was symbolic of a couple things. He was telling them to drop what they were doing, drop with what they are familiar with. And so how would that correlate to us? Jesus is telling us to drop a couple things to come follow him. He says, number one, I need you to drop your agenda. Need to drop your agenda. Now, the second thing he was really telling them was, I need you to drop your will. On last week, I gave you that example about how when we, you tame wild horses, they're not trying to take away the speed, they're not trying to take away the strength, but they're trying to take away their will. Because he's not trying to take away our talents, he's trying to take away our own selfish will, so our will can take upon his will. So he says, come and follow me. And then we get to Matthew chapter number 5 in verses 3 through 12. It says that these are the attitudes that we should have. He goes through all these blessings that doesn't really look like blessings, but he tells us we're blessed because of these type of things. We mean that these are the attitudes that you should have. And he talked about 8 different type of attitudes that we should have. He says, because you have these attitudes, that the world will see me through the way you express yourself. The world will see me through the way that you express yourself. Talked about 3 different type of characteristics of a disciple. Now, the first one we talked about was disciples or followers of Jesus Christ. Not just fans of Jesus.
Amen.
True right. Disciples are followers of Jesus and his teachings, and not just fans of Jesus. If I had to give you an example, that I would take you to John chapter number 6. It says that 5,000 men sat on some grass. It's not including the women and children. And it says in verse number 10, it says that a young lad had 5 loaves and 2 fish. Jesus blessed it, and it says that all of them ate until they was filled. It says they got all that they wanted. They were fans. You get down to verse number 53, Jesus asked them a question. He says, if you're going to follow me, you got to eat of my flesh. And drink. Said, most of them left. It says they walked away. Why did they walk away? Because they was fans. They was followers of Jesus. They were fans and not followers of Jesus. They were fans and not followers of Jesus. Followers of Jesus are committed.
Amen.
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 They were committed.
Come on.
The second characteristic of a disciple of Jesus is this. Disciples are changed and guided by Jesus and his teachings. Disciples are changed and guided by Jesus and his teachings. Disciples are committed to the mission of Jesus. Disciples are committed to the mission of Jesus. They give up what they want. They give up all the things that they have locked in on, and they take on the mission of Jesus. Because truth is that what we're supposed to be doing is found in the mission of Jesus. What we're supposed, our purpose, everything that we're supposed to be doing is found under the umbrella of following Jesus and his mission. We also talked about on last week that if Jesus was here on today, which he is, but if Jesus had a social media platform, was out there. We have YouTube, and it's, you give a thumbs up if you like it. Give a thumb down if you don't like it. I don't believe that Jesus would have a YouTube page because he's not worried about you giving him a thumbs up or a thumbs down. They also have Instagram. Instagram is driven by hearts. Jesus is not so much worried about that, but he does want your heart, right? Amen. And so, but I believe also that they have a Facebook. Facebook is determined by likes, right? A lot of us go bananas if people don't like our posts, none of that. Jesus is not worried about if you like him or don't like him. I believe that if Jesus were here, he would have a Twitter account. Why? You have to follow people on Twitter, right? So if Jesus were here today, he wouldn't worry about no Facebook page because why? He's not worried about if you like him or not. He's not worried about if you like his teachers or not. He's not worried about any of that stuff. He wouldn't have an Instagram page either. Why? Because he's not worried about if you give him a heart or everything. But he does want your heart. I believe that Jesus wouldn't have a YouTube page either because he's not worried about you give him a thumbs up or any of that stuff. But he would have a Twitter page. Why? Because Jesus wants followers and not fans.
Amen.
Jesus wants you to follow him. Jesus doesn't want fans. Because the fans, Jesus began to teach things, and truth be told, sometimes Jesus says things that we just do not like. We talked about that on last week as well. One of them was that it says, if your brother or your sister offends you, or if your husband or your wife, 7 times 70 in a day. And y'all heard Pastor D said, I ain't praying about no forgiveness. I'm praying that you get the demon out of them, because if somebody offends me that many times a day, they got a demon in them, right? He also says things like, hey, if they slap you on one cheek, you got to turn the other. Now, if by show of hands, how many of you like to hear stuff like that? You said, Jesus, no, you're gonna have to work on me. That ain't gonna happen. So I believe if Jesus was here today, he had a social media platform, he would have a follower of his and not just a fan of his. All the rest of those social media platforms, they just want you to be fan. I believe that if Jesus were here, he would have a Twitter account. And so why is that important? Because it's important because most of the time on all those other things, we want people to follow us. We want them to follow us because of who we are and because of what we do. Jesus told disciples, come follow me, not because of who I am, not because of what I do. I need you to see what you can do, because he said, you follow me, I'm going to make you fishers of men. So Jesus tells us to follow him to show us who we are, to show us what he can do. Why do I say that? Because Jesus doesn't need you to tell you who he is. He doesn't need you to tell him what he can do. Why? Because he says in Exodus chapter number 3, verse number 14, he says, I am that I am.
Amen.
He says in John chapter number 14, verse number 6, he says, I am the truth, I am the way, and I am the life. So Jesus knows who he is. He doesn't want you to follow him, to show him, get a million followers to say, hey, look at me. Look what I can do. Look who. So he can show you who you are.
Yeah.
All right. So he can show you what you're supposed to be doing.
Okay.
Jesus wants you to follow him so he can show you you. Jesus says, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. Jesus doesn't need you to follow him to show you what he can do, because he says in Ephesians 3 and 20, he says, I can do exceedingly and abundantly above anything that you can ask, think, or imagine. Uh-huh. Jesus says, I need you to follow me so I can show you who you are. So I can show you who you are. He says things like this in Deuteronomy chapter number 28, verse number 13. He says, those that hearken diligently to my voice. He says, you'll be the head, and then you'll be a head and not the tail. You'll be above and not beneath. You'll be a lender and never the borrower. He says, you'll be blessed in the field. You'll be blessed coming. He says, I need you to follow me so I can show you who you are. Sometimes we don't follow Jesus, we get lost. Why? Because we do not know who we are. The only way that you truly know who you are, if you follow Jesus, if you follow him. Jesus tells us things like this as well. He says that if you follow me, you will do greater works. If you follow me, you will do greater works. Not from the point we're going to do all the miraculous stuff and all the stuff that Jesus did. But he says our influence is going to be further. Our reach is going to be further. I mean, who we impact is going to be further. If you just follow me. Sometimes we try to do our own thing. Doing things out of our strength. We're doing things out of our ability. We're doing things out of our own might. And our influence is limited. The only way that we get to do what God has truly called us to do and be everything that God has called us to be, if we let him lead us and we let him guide us and we let him usher us. The Bible declares that he is the one that brings about increase. It says in his word that all good things come from above. It says that he says he's the vine, we are the branch. He says if we stay connected to him, then we will produce much fruit. He goes on to say, and if we don't, we can do nothing without him.
Amen.
Nothing means nothing. We can do nothing without him.
Amen.
We can't even wake up and breathe in the morning time without him. We take little things like that for granted, but we can do nothing without him. And so he tells his disciples, when you follow me, then these are the type of attitudes that you should have. Why? Because of me. How many of you know that most of the time that people will listen to you before they listen to Jesus?
Amen.
Most of the time when people will look at you before they look at Jesus. That's why he tells them, he says, you take on these attitudes. And this is what we should be. Then he gets on down to verse number 13 where we pick up. He says, because you have these type of attitudes, because you have these things, he says, now you can be salt. And so for the next few minutes, I want about the benefits of salt. In biblical times, you know that a lot of people didn't have money, and you know that agriculture, animals and things like that was currency back in biblical times. The same way salt was currency back in biblical times. Why? Because it was valuable. Like it was a preservative. It did a lot of things, and most of the time, like Romans was one of the most dominant and armies and empires all throughout history. Why? Because they was more skilled, the soldiers was more trained, and they were able to provide and take care of themselves. And one of the ways they did it was they paid the soldiers with salt. Because salt helped them when they made long journeys. They were able to preserve food. It was able to help them to do a lot of things. And so Jesus compares us and calls us salt. So watch this. He says, you are salt. You are the light of the world. So you don't have to wonder about your identity. You don't have to wonder if he said you are. When Jesus says you are something, you are that thing. You don't have to worry about if. You don't have to worry.
My new book, The 40 Days of Impact Devotional for Men, is here. I'm super excited to share this book with all my men. Guys, this book was created with you in mind. Get ready for 40 days of the most impactful topics that we as men face daily, such as decision making, character, and being the kingdom man God needs you to be. This book is loaded. Grab your copy today on Amazon, The 40 Day Impact Devotional for Men, written by me, Pastor Garrett Morissette.
Of the earth. You are the light of the world. So we got to understand in this season when Jesus says we are something, we are just that. A lot of times we wander around and we get frustrated and we get low self-esteem because we're trying to open to the knowledge and the understanding and receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior. You never have to wonder about who you are. You never have to worry about self-identification. Your self-identification is not in the things, it's in the person of Jesus. A lot of times we get lost because we can lose the things. But we can't lose Jesus. Once you get Jesus, you don't lose him. You can lose the stuff, but you don't lose Jesus. You have to understand when the stuff leaves, Jesus doesn't leave. You have to understand when all that stuff goes away. Matter of fact, he says in his word, heaven and earth may pass away, but my word never will. Who is the word? He is the word. You have to understand, you lose jobs, you lose houses, you lose that stuff. You have to understand this. Your position may change, but the time I was going through, lost job, didn't like, and everything. And the one thing I held hold to this was, your position may change. I went from employed to unemployed. My position changed. But all through that time,
yes, God.
Didn't nobody around my house get skinny. Didn't no lights get turned off. None of that stuff happened. Why? Because my position changed, but my source didn't change. Like in life, like things may change, but your source never changed. The Bible declares in Hebrews chapter number 13, verse number 8, he's the same God yesterday, today, and forever. So your position may change, but your source never changed. The same way he did it yesterday, the way that he did it last month, he's going to do it today. The same way that he did it last year, he's going to do it today. Your position may change, but your source will never change. He's the same Jehovah Jireh that did it over 3,000-4,000 years ago. He's the same God today. The same God that fought your battles then. He's the same God that's going to do it today. You have to understand this. You have to remember this when you're going through things. You got to remember that there was once times like this. Things that we're going through, and we have to look at the last time God brought us through. We have to look at the last way he did it. That's why he says, I am doing a new thing. Can you not perceive it? The thing we get caught up in, we think God is going to do it the same way he did it last time. He says, I'm going to deliver you, but I just may not do it like this. I've talked about this before where he said this, I'm doing a new thing. Can you not perceive it? He was talking about the first time he brought them through the Red Sea. The next time he delivered them, he says, I'm bringing you through the wilderness.
Yes.
Sometimes we look at the wilderness as a bad place, but how many of you know in the wilderness was everything they needed?
Yes.
They was hungry. Yes. What did God do? He rained down manna. And when they was thirsty, come out of that rock.
Yes.
Whatever you need to get to where God has called you to be, that's what God is going to do. If he have to make water come out of rocks, you know what he's going to do? Water going to come out of rocks. If he need to make quail and food fall out of the sky, that's just what he's going to do. And you know what's going to happen when you get to the next destination? Whatever you need to happen, it's going to be on the other side. Can I tell you this? I was reading in Joshua this morning. It says on the very next day, after 40 years, when they ate manna, it says got to the promised land. When they ate the fruit from the promised land, it says the very next day, the manna dried up. Why? Because God has transitioned them into something else. Can I tell you something? When God has transitioned you to eating the fruit of the land, some of us are in our land of milk and honey, but we missing it because we still waiting on manna. God is trying to get us to bite on something else. God, listen, thank you, Holy Spirit. God is changing our taste buds in this season. Some of us are still trying to bite and chew on the old stuff, and it's not satisfy your taste buds. Why? Because God has you in a different season.
Yeah.
You think that something is wrong with the food that you eat, but God just has you in a different season. You're tasting on something different because you're in a different season. It don't taste good because you still trying to eat manna. But God says, I have something different for you. Can you not perceive it? Still trying to eat the manna. God says, I have transitioned you over here. I have transitioned you into this season. You got to change your taste buds in this season. You got to change your insight in this season. You got to change your way of thinking in this season. Because God is trying to do something new. And we got to take hold of it. We got to take hold of it. Stop trying to eat manna in a new season. God is past that. He's doing something different in every one of our needs.
Yes.
Matter of fact, he's doing it in abundance. He's doing it exceedingly. Mm-hmm. He's doing it in an abundance. He's doing it exceedingly. You just got to catch up with what God is doing. Let me get back here. You just got to catch up with what God is doing. So salt was a valuable commodity in those days. That's why Jesus compares us to salt. He says, these are the attitudes that you should be in this season. And because these are the attitudes that you should be, then this is the characteristics that you should take on. Four things I want to talk to you about the benefits of salt real quickly. The benefits of salt. What happens with salt? Talked about this before. You got to know that I know a lot of, we got some people in here that like to cook. And salt does a couple things. Anything that salt comes in contact with, it changes it. It's a seasoning. Like it changes the taste of it. So what was Jesus saying? Jesus said, because you have these attitudes, these are the characteristics that should be influencing the culture. And not being influenced by the culture. Mm-hmm. We should be influencing the culture and not influenced by the culture. So four benefits of being salty. Four benefits of being salty. Number one, I just talked about this. Salt is a valuable commodity. Even in our day and times, like my wife, like everything has to have salt on it. Why? Because it changes the flavor. Like it does something to it. So Jesus says, because you are salty, then you are a valuable commodity. And you need to know you are valuable to God's plan. Everything that happens in the earth is on you. Everything that doesn't happen in the earth is on you. Why? Because God said fullness of, and he left us here to dominate, to have dominion over it, to cultivate it, to influence it, to change it on his behalf. So whatever happens in the earth, it's on us. Whatever that doesn't happen in the earth, it's on us. The second thing is this. Salt adds flavor. The disciples or followers of Jesus should be a flavorful people. Disciples of Jesus should be a flavorful people. You can just write these down. I ain't got time to run through, but in Ephesians 4:29, it says, and this verse says this, it says, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, only that which is good for upbuilding and edifying people. So how you talk to people determines what kind of salt you are. Are we building people up or are we tearing them down?
Hallelujah.
It's amazing that when the Apostle Paul wrote this, you know who he was talking to? He wasn't talking to Gentiles. He wasn't talking to people outside of the church, but he was talking to the believers. Mm-hmm. He says that, that like your The flavor of your salt is determined on how you talk to each other. Are you using your language to tear each other down? Are we using our language to build people up?
Amen.
What are you using it for? In Hebrews 13:16, and to share with those in need. These are the sacrifices that are pleasing to God. Matthew chapter number 28, verses 20. Matthew 28 and 20. Then also 1 Peter 4 and 10. And Philippians chapter number 2, verses number 3 through 4. Salt adds flavor. The third thing is this. Salt is a preservative. Salt is a preservative. Disciples should be a preservative. Disciples should uphold the teachings of Jesus. What are we preserving? We are preserving truth. Jesus. Salt is a preservative. When the Roman soldiers went on long campaigns, they were able to use the salt to stop the meat, the fish, and all that stuff from decaying. And we are to be the same exact way. This earth is falling away, and it's falling away fast. And the only way it's going to be sustained, first of all, by the hand of God, but we're ambassadors in the earth. And we should be upholding truth. We should be upholding what Jesus died for. We should be upholding that.
Yes.
We are preservatives.
Amen.
Next thing is this. We talked about this already. Influences. Whatever salt comes into contact with, it influences it. It changes the behavior or the taste of it. When you go outside of these four walls, I ain't worried about you in here. I know you're going to be good in here. Mm-hmm. We got to impress each other. But when you get outside of those four walls, out of these four walls, when you get into the marketplace, when you get around people that you don't like or don't like you, or done gossip about you or talked about you, or all of that stuff, what is your salt going to taste like? How are you going to influence them? How are you going to influence them? So he says, salt influences. True disciples impact the culture and they don't get caught up in the culture. True impact the culture and don't get caught up in the culture. Paul says it like this in Romans chapter 12, verses number 1. He says, brothers, I beseech you by this. You got it? I plead with you to give your bodies to God because all he has done for you. Mm-hmm. You are to give your bodies unto God because all he has done for you. Mm-hmm. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind that we will find acceptable. This is the way to worship him. Don't copy them of this world, but let God transform you into a new person. How is he going to do it? By changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is God's pleasing, which is good and pleasing and perfect. The only way that you will know God's will for you, if you allow God to transform your thinking, and the way you allow God to transform your thinking is, first of all, by accepting Jesus as your Lord, by hearing and hearing the word of God. You got to read your word. You got to study your word. You got to meditate on your word each and every day. Some say it don't take all this. No, it takes all that and more. You got to read that word. You got to become that word. You got to let that word become a part of you. You know how it is? You get cut, something is going to come out. Blood is going to come out. So the same way when people make you mad, they gossip about you, they talk about you, they come against you and all that stuff, God is looking at us to see what comes out of us. Why? Because he has called us salt. And salt is supposed to influence somebody. Salt is supposed to influence somebody. And because Jesus has said we are the salt of the earth, then we should be influencing everybody that we come in contact with. Everybody.
Thank you, Lord.
Everybody.
Thank you.
And everything.
Yes.
we should be influencing. It ain't tight, but it's right.
Amen.
We're talking about building character. God is more concerned about who we are than what we do.
Amen.
We can't get so busy getting caught up in doing work for God when we forget to let God work on us.
Amen.
We can't get so busy working for God. God is more concerned about our character than what we do, because he knows that if our character is right, that's going to drive what we do. If our character is right, and we have these character characteristics, or we are salt, or we are the light, that's going to cause us, that's going to determine our behavior, that's going to determine what we do, that's going to determine our next move. But we got to have our character right. Am I saying perfect? No, I'm not saying perfect, because yeah, character determines what we do. Our character determines our behavior. You know, like Jesus says it like this. He says, you'll know them by their fruit. So Jesus just said, hey, watch the fruit that we are producing, or watch the fruit that they are producing, then you will know their character. He goes on to say, a bad tree cannot produce good fruit. A good tree cannot produce bad fruit. Why? Because this is the character. Good character can only produce what's good. Bad character not only produce what's bad. He says, you are the salt. Do I have any people in here on this? I'm salty. Are you salty? Are you salty? Are you salty? And I'm not talking about the world salty. I'm not talking about the world salty. So when y'all get home today, when him or her are acting salty, you gotta ask them, what kind of salt are you? Don't say nothing. Don't say nothing about the behavior. Hey, listen, I'm here for somebody on the day. This is the wisdom 101 from Pastor D. When they get home, they start acting salty. Don't talk about the behavior. Don't ask them why they doing that. Don't tell them you know better than that. Just say, what kind of salt are you? What kind of salt are you? What kind of salt are you?
Amen.
God has called us to be influencers. He has called us to preserve truth.
Amen.
Everything that we come in contact with, we should be influencing for the good of God.
Yes.
For the good of God. Jesus, God did not. And not the ability to be able to produce good fruit. He gave us his Holy Spirit so that we could produce the fruit of the Spirit.
Amen.
Most fruit is good, it's sweet.
Amen.
And people want more of it because of the taste of it. They want more of it because it's good for them. Caught up on exercising the gift of the Spirit. Watch this, the gifts of the Spirit, that's what we do, more so than walking in the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, those are character things. The gifts of the Spirit is what we do. Sometimes we can't get caught up in doing work for God, and we don't allow God to work in us.
Amen.
So he calls us to be salt. And salt is valuable. And no one has told you on the day you are valuable to God's plan, God's kingdom. And the only way the kingdom expands is through us. God brings about the increase, but he's doing it through us.
Amen.
Hey, family. I hope it blessed you. Do us a favor and share this podcast with a friend or family. And don't forget to subscribe, rate, and review on Apple Podcasts so that we can reach more people across the world. Thanks for tuning in.